Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Isaiah, and we're in chapter 40. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. The islands fled away. Revelation 16:20. When Jesus comes, He's going to retool the earth. Those 100-pound hailstones that the Bible talks about, He's going to be demolishing a whole lot of nations. You know, you start hitting a bunch of buildings in New York City with 100-pound hailstones. Thankfully, Christians aren't going to be here. We're going to be raptured out. But when He starts retooling the earth, the mountains are going to flee away, the islands are going to be gone, and He's going to create a perfect, perfect, perfect union. And we won't be divided anymore in our nations, it would seem. Although that would be going a little further than we know. Revelation 16:20, that's your verse for that. He says, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. I love that because it's like a little, hey, I'm going to do that. You just hang on because it's coming. Verse 17, it says, all nations before Him are as nothing. They are counted to Him as less than nothing. Why? Because they're vanity. They're vanity. They're wasted. They're not eternal. They're just empty. They're as the wind. They come, they go. Nations rise, they fall. And the Bible says, to whom will you liken God? In verse 18. Don't get so excited about a political movement that you forget how awesome God is. We find ourselves getting caught up in the spirit of the moment. It's good. It's good. Get out there. You know, be excited. I was excited. Man. I would encourage you to go to whitehouse.gov and look at the new policies. All the stuff Obama put, and we put it on our back bulletin board after he got in. He was going to do his gay thing, he was going to do this thing and that thing and the military thing. All of it went down right at the strike of noon. Right on the cue. And there's not one mention of green movement, global warming. There's not one mention of those things. And what I'm saying is that that's exciting and I can get excited about it. But it's a temporal excitement. I'm aware of that and I hope you are too. Because the real excitement is in the heavens. The real excitement is in the Lord. And the Bible says, to whom will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare Him? And then He talks about the idolater and those who make idols. And it says in verse 21, it says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood? And you could put a parenthesis. I would encourage you to put a parenthesis after the word understood. Because the words are these. From the foundations of the earth, it is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, before whom the inhabitants of the earth are grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and that spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Do you know what He just said? He says, Obama's not going to give you your money anymore. Trump's not going to give you your security. It is He that sits in the heavens that gave you this tent. You are living in a tabernacled world. When we got outside the atmosphere and we looked back, we could see that this was a blessed planet. He did that! Did you see the beauty of this? This is who He is! And He sits upon the circle of the earth as just throwing that out there. When everybody's saying, is the earth flat? Read your Bible! It's not flat! He sits upon the circle of the earth. It takes a while for the scientists to catch up. He hung the earth on nothing. The Bible says. They had all kinds of ideas of what happened. Well, we were sitting on top of a bull that was sitting on top of a goat that was sitting on top of a rhinoceros that was sitting on top of an elephant. There was all kinds of ideas. No, He hung the earth on nothing. And the Bible says He sits upon the circle of the earth and He spreads out the heavens as a tent to dwell in. That's about you. What does God care about? He cares about you as His child. He cares about His children. He cares about the redeemed. And He would that all men would come to salvation and to the knowledge of the truth. That's what He's about. Why did He give us a reprieve? So that we might be able to make a little bit of America good again. Starting with us. That's what He did. The Bible says, it is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Circle the word that in verse 22, the second one. It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth that stretches out the heavens and spreads them out as a tent. The second that is in verse 23. It is He that sits upon the circle of the earth that bringeth the princes to nothing. You know Angela Merkel? Do you know Vladimir Putin? Do you know every wicked regime in this world that we live in? He brings the princes to nothing, and the judges of the earth pass away. He makes them as vanity. Do you know what that means? That means Sotomayor. That means Ginsburg. He brings them to nothing. These people don't matter. What matters? I mean, this is taking stuff out. Yeah, that doesn't matter. That's vanity. There's nothing there. I'm telling you, there's a lot of judges who are legislating from the bench. Single people. Nine people on a bench told us all that gay marriage was legitimate reality. That's what happened. It is not a legitimate reality. And the Bible says, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh when their calamity comes. Isn't that good? This is comfort. That's our Creator. This is what He does. And the Bible says, to whom are you going to liken me? Verse 25. He said it once. He said, who are you going to liken me to? You want to think it's good to be in the happy days are here again and morning in America? It's all good. Enjoy the moment. But it is just that. It is a moment. Because our God reigns. And what nobody thought could be done was done. And right now you're sitting in the middle of what I might call the Northern Lights. I often look at the Northern Lights and I wish I could see them with my own eyes one day. I look at it as the sparkles after God's creation. It's just sitting there, it's just shining up there. The Northern Lights. You and I are right now experiencing the Northern Lights. And that's good. But don't confuse the real comfort. Don't forget the real comfort, the King's coming. Don't forget the Creator, the one who makes all of this temporal. And the Bible says in verse 25, to whom will you liken me, or shall I be equal? Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high. Behold who created these things that bringeth out the host in their number, calls them all by name, and the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. And the word faileth means not one fails to show up. You know, when the stars are out, they're all right where they were yesterday. They're going to be there tonight. Because not one fails, because that's who he is. You're not going to be disappointed if you keep your eyes on him. And the final thing we can do to make America good again is to remember our calling. We need to remember our comfort. There's a future. Hope, encouragement, warfare accomplished all that. We need to remember our Creator. He did it all. The world's nothing down here. He gave it to us as a tent to dwell in. We're just dwelling in a tent. And it's good. It's good when things are good. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But what we're seeing here is he's saying, that's all going to pass away. But here's what you need to remember. He says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from God? What really he's saying here is he's saying, you may think that you have been passed over and I've forgotten you, but I haven't. Beloved, don't stop being God's people. Don't ever stop doing that. Don't try to blend in. Don't try to look cool. Don't try to, be a wallflower in the world. You need to realize your cause is right on the front burner with God. The reason this stuff happened is so the church could do some more good. Don't forget your calling. The Bible calls us the church. It's a Greek word, ekklesia. Ecclesiology is the study of the church. Ecclesiology, ekklesia, means called out. Church is not a building. Church is a people who've been called out. It's the people who've been called out. Why were you called out? And what were you called out from? You were called out of the world. You were called out of sin. You were called out of the nonsense. And you were called to something. You were called to represent the answer. The real answer. And you were called to represent God by pointing people to Jesus. We believe in God through Christ Jesus, Colossians tells us. We point them to Him. It's not about us. It's not about our lawns. It's not about our houses and lands. Praise God for the good and the sweet. And God would have us be busy in certain ways from day to day. It's time to speak up. We got a reprieve. It's not as hostile as it was yesterday. Although I'm feeling a little hostility in those who are still saying, shoot somebody. How many of you heard that Madonna said she was thinking about blowing up the White House yesterday? In front of thousands upon thousands of people in the middle of the Capitol, she says, I was thinking of blowing it up.
She tweeted it, then she said it in a crowd of people who could very well have gone dark in a hurry. But they didn't have any men around because it was a woman's march. So they were like, oh, who's going to get us a bomb? I don't know how to do a bomb, you know? No, I can make a mean cake. You know, I don't know. There they were, fanning flames of dissent. But we need to not be silent, as he said to Zion in verse 9. Why? He says, you think your way, your purpose, and all your things that you were about were passed over. Your way is hid. God doesn't know where you are, how hard it is for you. Verse 27, you don't think you've been given any judgment in your behalf. We've been given judgment in our behalf. The evangelicals put this man in office, and he's been good so far about keeping some of them close. Verse 28 says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, He faints not, neither is He weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint. Now this is huge. He giveth power to the faint. But He says at the end of verse 28, it says, the Lord, the Creator of the earth, faints not. But He says this, and it says He gives power to the faint. Now if you can begin to really admit to yourself, as a believer, that you have fainted, we're not witnessing like we need to be. We're not praying for somebody to witness to. And I'm not saying you have to be every day with everything, but you ought to have a tract in your pocket on a routine basis so that when you see somebody who needs one, you're not thinking, man, I wish I wouldn't have a tract. All I'm saying is, I preach to me too. It's easy to faint. But the Bible says He gives power to the faint. This is what He does. What is our calling? It's to receive from Him. He gives power to the faint. To them that have no might, He increases strength. You're going to faint. And if you admit you fainted and you're not witnessing and you're not caring and you're not loving and you're not engaged, God wants to give you strength. He wants to right your focus. And the Bible says, He increases strength to those that have no might. Look at this in verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Perhaps one of the more familiar verses in the book of Isaiah. I connect it to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. The Bible says of Paul that we had the sentence of death in ourselves. That's Paul. He was so depressed, he said, I could just die. Didn't you have a sentence of death in America? Didn't you think it was done? Feel like we're down for the count? Hillary was going to get it? Everybody's saying, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Sentence of death. But it says we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He said, when I had the sentence of death in myself, I realized God's a resurrecting God. And He wants to raise you up. He wants to give you a new song in your heart, the one like you had years ago. He wants you to lay down your burdens, lay down your sins, fight against the inclinations of sin in your members. Fight, fight, and fight again. And when you fall into the ashes, you say, God, You're the one who raises the dead. Help me. I need forgiveness. Fix me. Cry out and ask Him for that, because He's the God who raises the dead. And when you have the sense of death in yourself and you think there is no hope, remember this season in the world in which we live in America, but remember the Lord, most importantly. Because He did a miracle in time and He will do a miracle in your life. Stop playing with your faith. Let's get out there and do something good for God so that other people can do something good for God, and so other people can then do something good for God. Because that's how He meant it to be. And I believe it's the only reason that we have been given a reprieve in this country. It's not a perfect reprieve, but it is a reprieve. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.